After 3.5 long years, it's almost time to head back to the offices of the Nation Building Authority. The new season of Utopia starts this Wednesday on the ABC. Here is a taste of what's in store.
It's got to be something that's shovel ready. Okay, a fully regional.
Mm-hmm. What?
That's it.
It's a smart idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Feels solid.
That could be illegal.
I have complete faith in the NBA.
What does that even mean?
What does anything mean?
It doesn't matter what we say, as long as we keep saying it.
It's Tony Woodford, the boss. Good morning, Rob. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Hamish. I knew the ABC were going to run out of episodes of Vera eventually.
I've enjoyed the first episode of the new season. I mean, it's not like you're lacking material to talk about.
No. Well, apropos, you mentioned before that we've tried to think up the silliest place to build a very expensive stadium in Australia and came up with Hobart about 7 or 8 years ago. And even then we thought it was far-fetched, but history has proven us incorrect. It was funny. At the time we thought, what's sort of the camouflage talking point you would use for it? And we said, the term multi-purpose stadium. And so I watched with anticipation for our Prime Minister to use multi-purpose stadium.
Your clips sort of do get a new life when these things tend to come true. Here's the Tassie Stadium stuff.
The Tasmanians do not need nor want a huge new stadium.
I can't believe the ingratitude of some people.
They didn't ask for one.
They don't know what they want.
They live there.
It's not the point. We need to start planning for one.
Why?
Failure to plan is a plan for failure.
Give me the book.
No.
Rhonda, it doesn't make sense.
All right. So there are a few problems.
Lack of population, too few events, distance, fixed costs, where to put it.
But those negatives are far outweighed by the positives.
I don't have any.
Do you write the new season with a mind to what else might come true?
Well, not really. We just look for a little bit of absurdity. If you stand still long enough, the headlines do it for you. It was like when China about 3 or 4 years ago, people kept saying, oh, we need these submarines, we've got regional, you know, the Indo-Pacific pivot and all this. And so we came up with the conclusion that we were trying to protect our trading routes with China from China. So, and now we're buying submarines to protect us ourselves from TikTok, which seems equally absurd. So it's sort of, I mean, it's when you start spending big sums of money and you start using talking points, it can get very silly very quickly.
How much of the news are you consuming to be able to generate the ideas among? Because there's the three of you that sort of do the initial work in coming up with strands or threads to explore, right?
Yeah, we're pretty news savvy. I think we read all the time. One of the things I do as a habit for sort of 2 years before a series, I try and read the financial press because money doesn't lie in a way. Or over a period of time, eventually an auditor gets involved and tells the truth. So we do things like that, but fortunately COVID delayed us a year or two, and we always thought we were going to be post-COVID, that the masks would go, you know, as you were saying with Norman Swan. We were in a different world now, and we sort of thought that would happen. So we've done very little work from home, Zoom. I thought everyone was going to be tired of that theme by the time we came on here.
I read in it may have been press for a previous season that you did, but you were talking about using an app where you guys all just kind of deposit your little ideas and thought bubbles. Can you talk us about what's the process?
So we keep each of us keep notes, you know, of ideas. Like I was right. The first episode came from, I was driving down the same bit of freeway for 5 or 6 years in a row. And I went, nothing's changed here. I wonder what the delay is. And I could not find the delay. All I could find was advertising for big bills and how well. And I realised that was the episode. So I made a note of that and forgot about it. And 6 months later, we sort of periodically get together with a whiteboard and put it up there and see if we've got a critical mass. And I mentioned that idea and the others went, oh, that's a great idea. And so it goes in that way over a pretty long period of time.
Are there moments when you're watching the news, maybe there's, you know, a big scandal involving a consulting firm that's been brought in to help the government do things, that you think, oh, I wish that had happened a bit earlier?
Well, we did a thread on that a couple of series ago about that everybody's – infrastructure has a lot of fans and very few guardrails in a lot of ways because the sums are so big. So everyone gets involved and everyone's a cheerleader for a big project. And I think it's old. Someone told me that Athens almost went broke in 450 BC by building the Parthenon. So I sort of, you know, maybe it's a human failing.
What excites you in the news?
I'm pretty excited. I'll wake up with the news every day hoping that there's a big story, an exciting story. I do enjoy really good, savvy commentary based on data. Funnily enough, Norman Swan, you know, I listen to the health report every week because a study will come out, you know, about this shingles vaccine and you go, there's a whole bunch of undiscovered things in the world and a whole bunch of insights in the world. And when someone says something, it's like when someone comes to your town for the first time and makes an observation about your town. You've lived in it for 50 years and you go, I never saw that, even though it was right in front of my eyes. And I think the best news is a bit like that. The best news is investigatory. The best news is illuminating in some level.
Frontline, would you ever bring it back?
Probably not. We sort of found Utopia's got this is wonderful. I used to say that why would Barry Humphries ever give up Dame Edna? Because every joke he ever thinks up is better said by Dame Edna. And so in a way, every good observation we make now about government, it's probably better off done in the offices of the NBA. Although, funnily enough, the guy that plays our minister, Mike McLeish, in the last episode of this series as we're shooting about the last scene, said, you know the only unrealistic thing about this whole series? I'm like, I don't know, what is it, Mike? He said, I've been the same minister for 9 years. I mean, that would never happen.
It's more than just an observation about government and process, though. It is just about offices. There's something there that we all kind of associate with. In the new season, you've got the new smart fridge that doesn't seem capable of keeping the milk cold. Because presumably you're not in offices that much. How do you tap into that?
So this is the interesting thing, Hamish. We've always had an office and it's been, you know, a pretty low rent one at times. And so we've always had issues of accounting and auditing and hiring and CVs. And so we've had a sort of a weird front row seat to the changing etiquettes. And over a period of time, it helps comedy, is the etiquettes have become so intricate in the way you treat officers, three warnings, microaggressions, all these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So I've always said, you know, officers are petri dishes for sort of developing norms and you know, out of COVID and work from home and Zoom and all these sorts of things, it seems to have multiplied.
Is it harder for someone that's been in the workforce for a longer period of time to understand the dynamics today, because younger generations in the workplace have kind of different codes and rules about how you communicate?
They do. It was funny. That's something we do touch on a bit in this one. In one episode, Celia Piccola's character has to deal with an overachiever as her assistant, and then in a later episode has to deal with an underachiever, but both from that sort of 20-something generation and all of that. So we keep a pretty close eye on that. It's very – workplaces are very, very complicated now. You need a high level of emotional intelligence because it's – in low periods of low unemployment – you know, people can just go somewhere else and get a job somewhere else. So I do love the two-way street. When I started, I got yelled at. I mean, that just doesn't happen these days.
Yeah, same. I was thinking about that the other day. They used to scream their heads off at us in the mornings. Robson, thank you very much for joining us. The new season is great. When does it premiere? Wednesday, 7 p.m.
Yeah, Wednesday, 8 o'clock.
Here on the ABC and on iView. Rob Sitch, thanks so much.
Go on, Yanish.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.